Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis, 10 lines up from the bottom, and we have the Shita Rav Huna that a Rodev does not need a Hasra. Neima Misayele. Shall we bring a Raya from a Brisa that supports Rav Huna and a Rodev does not need a Hasra? Rodev Shaya Rodev Acha Chaver Lahargo. So Ruvain is pursuing Shimon to kill him. Omer lo, the nirdaf in this case, or anyone else for that matter, should tell the rodef the following. Re'ei she Yisrael hu, oh, that would sound like we're talking about somebody else, not the nirdaf himself. Yisrael hu, uben brishu, he's a Jew, he's a member of the covenant, you should have compassion on him, he's not a kofar. And the Torah says, "Vatorah mashofech dam ha'adam bi'adam dam yishofech." The Torah is already clear, way back in Bereishis, that's Perek Tes, after they come out of the teva, that if you shed the blood, a shofech dam ha'adam, then bi'adam through man, his blood will be shed. And Amr Torah, the Torah is telling it, Hatzel domo shel zeh b'domo shel zeh, clearly indicating that he should be forewarned, this Rodef, that if he doesn't desist, he will be killed. And Lechora, this is not a formal warning, the way Hasra is required with regard to all other criminal acts and as a precondition for punishment, because there's no Kabbalas Hasra. Every Asra requires that the Musra accept upon himself the Asra and be Mater Atzmo L'Misa. From the fact that this Asra is not a valid Asra according to the technical legal requirements that define Asra, you see that in a Rodef doesn't need Asra. Now you'll ask me, so what is this whole presentation before you put him to death? Why not just put him to death? Save the Nirdaf and that's it. Shalom al Yisra. But the answer is that what we would prefer, it's almost like a suggestion, in order to try to save the nirdef and at the same time avoid killing a nefesh, in this case the rodev, try to hope that perhaps we can stave this all off. We can soften up the rodev, and maybe he's in a hot, angry state, maybe we can cool him off a little. So we try to tell him to be aware that he is going to be killed for this. But that's only a lechatchila embellishment in order to try as much as we can. But as far as killing the rodef is concerned, we don't need a hasra. If we did, then there would be a requirement to legalize and validate that hasra, that he, the nirdaf, acknowledged the hasra, and he has to be mater asmo l'misa. So the Gemara rejects this proof. The Gemara says, "Ahi Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehudahi." We're assuming that as a general rule, a criminal cannot be punished without a hasra. That there's a separate requirement to call it exeris hakos, the Torah requires hasra. That's not true, according to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya we learned, Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda omer, chaver eino tzarech hasra. It's not a din and a precondition in punishment that you cannot punish a criminal for his crime unless there was hasra. The hasra is only to achieve a technical goal. It's not a chal shem hasra in and of itself. It's a pragmatic consideration. Lefish lo nitna hasra lahavchin bein shogeg lemezid. L'chora, we cannot put to death a criminal because we could always assume or raise the possibility that he was an omer mutter, that he was unaware of the law, and that makes him into a shogeg, and therefore he's not a mezid. So how do we ever punish a criminal for a presumed deliberate criminal act without a hasra? Says Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, we need a hasra in order to achieve this goal, and clarify that, and exclude the possibility that he's a shogeg, clarify that he's indeed a mezid. And whereas the Chachamim Rav Yossi assume that a hasra is a legal precondition It's Gzeiras HaKosven. There's no way we can punish the offender without a Asra. That's the way, let's call it a din, in if you want, in the Chumras Avera, the Chutzpah of the Avera. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, has a different, there's no precondition, there's no legal requirement of a warning and a Asra. It's just a question of how do we exclude the possibility that there is a Shogig situation. The Nafkemina, first and foremost, between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, is a Chaver. Here's a person that obviously knows the law, he's learned it. He knows that what he's occupied with is a criminal act. We need not clarify and exclude that he was a shogi. We know he's a mezid. He cannot claim omer mutter in this case. So according to the chachamim, there's exeris hakosu. You cannot punish someone without fulfilling the precondition of asra, and that applies to a chaver like it applies to anyone else. Masha enkin according to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds that the purpose of a Asra is just technical, to clarify that he's a mezid, and in the case of Chavra, you don't need it. This would also have another nafkamina, this machlok, between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Do we need the Kabbalas Asra? If, assuming the Asra was clear, and the Musra heard the Asra, it went into his ears, and it, you know, he understood the Hasra, that's enough. According to the Chachamim, that there's a technical and legal requirement of Hasra, that Hasra requires also a Kabbalas Hasra. And a Matir Atzma Lemisa, according to Rabbi Yossi, there is no such requirement. Now the Braisa that we quoted before, as a Mislema de Sayela to support Rav Huna, that a Rodif does not need a Hasra, is not really conclusive, because if that Braisa reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi in general doesn't need a Hasra. And in the case of a pursuer, of a Rodif, clearly there's no precondition of Hasra. We're not going to punish him in a Bezdin. We're here to save the Nirdaf. If we're punishing someone in Bezdin, then Rabbi Yossi say we have to clarify that he's a Mezid and exclude the possibility that he is a Shogeg. Here, the Asra is of a totally different nature. It's not really a Asra at all. We're not coming to exclude Shogeg because we know this guy is a Mezid. He's got an, you know, he's yelling and screaming, I want to kill this guy. But what we want to do is just try to calm him down. Maybe we could save and circumvent the need to kill the Rodev. That's what we want to accomplish. But a Hasra is not a requirement because Rabbi Yossi does not require Hasra in general. For any crime and any punishment, all we need is to clarify that he's amazing. Toshma, now let's find a Braisa that explicitly contradicts Rav Huna and requires that a Rodev, like any criminal, requires Hasra. Rodev shall yerodev achar chaver lahargo, omer lo, re'ei, she Yisrael hu ben brisu, v'atora omra, shofech dom ha'odom, v'odom dom yishofech, im omar, the Braisa adds what we didn't see in the previous Braisa, yodeani shehu ken, he accepts and acknowledges the hasra, potter, why? Because he hasn't yet been matir atzmo. He went as far as to say that I know that the Torah says that you can kill the Rodev if need be. That much I acknowledge, but that's not sufficient. He has to declare that he would not commit the act. I'm sorry, that he will commit the act despite the fact that he's well aware of the result of his criminal act, and that is it will bring about his own death. That has to be stated clearly, and that's the end of this price. Almanas Kane Ani Osa. I am going to continue pursuing this Nirdaf. I want to kill him, even though I realize that I might be killed. Then we have a full-fledged Hasra. But obviously, this Braisa reflects the Shita that we need a formal legal Hasra. The Gzeres HaKosev of Hasra applies not only to a regular classical criminal act, but even to a Rodef, and that's against Rav Huna. Now again, it is possible, as we'll see later on, that Rav Huna could say, well, that Braisa represents and reflects a different sheet amongst the Tanoim, but we already had a Braisa that says that Machteres is Machteroso Zui Hasroso, that above a Machteres does not need a Hasra. But the Gemara wants to check out another possibility, another plausible alternative interpretation of this brisa, without having to collide with Rav Huna, that the brisa could be reconciled with Rav Huna. How so? Lo tzricha dekoy betray ibri denara. We're talking about a situation where enoch inami, indeed, there's no possibility of killing the rodef in order to save the nirdaf. That's not going to happen, because the person who wants to save the nirdaf is on the other side of the river. He won't get there on time to kill the rodef before the rodef could implement his dastardly plan to kill the nirdaf. Delomatzi latzulu atzole. There's no logistical possibility that the matzil could save the nirdaf before the rodef could implement his killing and destroy the life of the nirdaf. So the Gemara says, Ma'ika, now you might ask, if indeed there's no way of saving the nirdaf, so what's the whole point to this brisa and this whole hasra or quasi hasra? The answer is, the boy isuye lebedina. What this individual wants to do is, he wants to serve as a witness, hopefully there's another witness, to bring this rotzach to trial and condemn him for the capital crime of murder. And for that we need a hasra, and that Rav Yossi would never disagree with, and Rav Huna would never disagree. We need a hasra. And therefore, if they want to bring him into Beis Din and have him condemned later as a murderer, Beis Din will not put him to death and punish him as a rotzech without asra. And therefore the witnesses, in the case of this brisa, want to give asra, not for the purpose of saving the nirdaf, that they cannot do. The nirdaf has already been killed, but now we want to execute the rodef as a rotzeach. The precondition is that he be warned for that. Ibois ema. Another way of interpreting this brisa is, enoch inami, this brisa contradicts Rav Huna and requires asra in order to put the rodef to death. Amlucha Rav Huna, ana diamri kitana demachteres, the omar machtarto zui asra. We had an earlier brisa that we discussed in the previous year, where it was clear from that brisa that the reason why the Torah says Bava Machteres, why did the Torah have to mention Machteres in order to teach us that Machtarto Zui Asra, so that there's no need to give a Asra to the Rode if you can put him to death, that Tana certainly reflects the Shita of Rav Huna. And even though you found now this other brisa that rejects the Shita of Rav Huna, okay, Rav Huna goes according to one Tana, and not according to the other Tana. Now, just to say a word or two about this machlokes, as to whether or not a rodef needs hasra according to the technical requirements of hasra. This touches on the nature of the chiyuv rodef. If we view the chiyuv rodef in terms of that solas nirdaf, and that's the beginning and the end of the story, then we will kill the rodef without asra, and that no doubt is the position of Rav Huna. If on the other hand it's not sufficient just to presuppose the definition of hatzolas anirdaf, we have another dimension, that another definition that has to be applied, and that is the chiyuv harodef. And what we're doing is we're taking now, according to this second approach of chiyuv harodef, and we're putting rodef under the category of misas bezdin, meaning that whoever saves the nirdaf and kills the rodef is acting almost, I would say, as an agent of bezdin to implement a death penalty. Except the chiddush is here that there was no murder yet, and how can you put to death, and how could Beis Din appoint some sort of shliach to kill the rodef if the rodef has not yet implemented his crime? And it's a kind of al shem sofo hu nidon, but there is a judgment here, and Beis Din is really putting him to death, albeit
you know, vicariously through the agency of someone who's the great matzil and deserves a talash. You know, you should get the recognized by the country, by the government. And if that be the case, if he is a representative of Beis Din in such a way that we want to stave off this Ritzicha before it happens, and therefore we kill the potential Rotzeach or the planned Rotzeach, the Rodev, in that case, then the laws of Beis Din apply over here. And one of the fundamental laws of Beis Din is Beis Din's hands are tied. They cannot implement a punishment against the criminal unless there was Asra, with all the dinim of Asra. And of course, Rav Huna here makes sense l'shitaso, because Rav Huna was the one who said that in the case of a fetus whose birth is endangering the life of the mother, then although that's called min hashamayim karadfile, and we can't hold the baby responsible, nevertheless, you might say, without the svar of Mishamayim Karat Filei, that the baby should be killed for the Hatzolas HaNirdov. So for that, Rav Huna says Mishamayim Karat Filei, that this is not considered a Shem Rodev. But then, says Rav Huna, in the case of a Katan, even though a Katan is not subject to neither punishments nor to Hasra, he cannot be Mekabel Hasra, he's not a Bardas. But nevertheless, Rav Huna insists we can kill the katan to save the gadol. And the reason for that is because the law of Rodef, according to Rav Huna, is basically atzolas hanirdav. So we see it expressed in the fact that Rav Huna, in the case of the baby who's being born, needs a new sfer of mishamayim karad filet. We see it in the case of katan or Rodef, and we see it in general that Rav Huna says that a Rodef does not need asra. So we're not talking about killing the Rodef as a punishment and an implementation of Beis Din's condemnation or any of that sort. No. We're talking about Atzolas HaNirdav. The other sheet of that of the Chachamim, and now we see in a Braisa that's reflected that the Rodef needs a Hasra, that's because we're assuming that a Rodef is being killed just like any criminal for a violation of a capital crime who was condemned and put to death by Beis Din needs a Hasra, and that's the way we treat the Rodef. And this also touches on the issue that we discussed in the previous shiur regarding Shabbos. Can we kill the Rodef even on Shabbos? If we view the killing of the Rodef as a kind of quasi-punishment that's implemented by Beis Din, then we get stuck with the general Iser of Onesh on Shabbos that applies for Onshei Beis Din. If on the other hand we're talking about Atzolas HaNirdav, then Pikuach Nefesh Doche Shabbos is no Havamina, that the law would change on Shabbos. We also should point out that even if we hold that a Rodef needs Asra, we treat the Rodef as a condemned murderer, and Beis Din is sort of implementing vicariously this Misas Beis Din, even so, it's all because of Atzolas HaNirdav. If there was no Atzolas HaNirdav, there would be no Chiyuv HaRodef. The Chiyuv HaRodef is built on a second floor. The first floor, the foundation, is that there's Atzolas HaNirdav. And therefore, Yachol Atzilo B'Echad Meivarov. Or, for example, if we take the case of the fetus before it pops its head out. So why do we kill the fetus? The answer is for Atzolas HaNirdav. And here there certainly is no Shem Rodef, as we saw earlier. But the question is, would the Atzolas HaNirdav allow us to kill the Rodef in a case where the Rodef doesn't have a Chiyuv Rodef? And the answer is that the fetus in its mother's womb is not considered a Yelud, it's not considered a Chai Gomur, and therefore the V'chai Bohem now shifts from the fetus to the mother, because certainly with regard to the mother, she comes under the Aloch of V'chai Bohem. Now, Rabosa, we begin the Mishnah that goes beyond the case of Bava Machteres, and now this is the Mishnah of Rodef. And our goal here is to define the parameters of Rodef. When are we, under what circumstances are we meant to kill the Rodef? Yeluhein Shematzilin Osan Benafshan. These are the cases in which we save the victim. And again, it would seem that the language of the Mishnah would support Rav Huna's approach, and that of the Chachamim, that a Rodef doesn't need Asra, if the thrust of the halach of killing the Rodef is to save the Nirdav, then the Hatzolos HaNirdav clearly indicates that we don't need a Hasra on the Rodef. We're not killing the Rodef because of any sort of a Chiv Misa, but rather because of the Shem Rodef. And it's interesting, the Rambam, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, and other Rishonim as well, they interpret this Reisha of the Mishnah in terms of Hatzolos HaNirdav. The Mishnah is listing the victims. We have to save these victims, even if it means that we have to give up the life of the Rodef. Rashi, on the other hand, is a little bit different. Rashi says, Elisha Matzino son min ha'avera. This is a whole different motif and a whole different agenda as to why we kill the Rodef, not to save the Rodef himself from this avera. But I would suggest that maybe even Rashi would interpret the Mishnah in a way that it's based on Hatzolos HaNirdav, because keep in mind the first case in the Mishnah is HaRodev Achar Chaver LaHargo. Why does Rashi introduce Matzin Oso Minavera? And that's because some of the other cases in the Sefer of the Mishnah, which describe Chil Shabbos and Avodas Kochavim and so forth and so on, in those cases there's no Hatzolos HaNirdav per se, but rather there's an issue of Hatzolos HaRodef Min HaAvera. So Rashi, you know, jumps the gun in a sense. He wants the Reisha to be a mirror image parallel to the Sefer. So he says, you should know that there's Halacha, a new Mechayev of Harigas HaRodef Petoros Hatzolos HaNirdef Min HaAvera. So now let's go through the Mishnah here on the top of Daf Ayin Gimel Amin Aleph. HaRodef Achar HaAvera LaHargo. This we've seen. And we assume that if the Mechayev of Rodef is, of Harigas HaRodef is the Hatzolos HaNirdav, then everybody's obligated in this, and there's no need to give Asra to the Rodef. We could try and do whatever we can to obviate the need to kill him, but bottom line, we don't need a Asra. And that's Rav Huna. The Achar HaZachar, now we're talking about a Maisa Revia. And Reuven is running after, again, it's hard to imagine the Metzius here, but maybe Reuven's already in the thrust of this action. He's already about to penetrate in this unusual act of homosexuality. And in such a case, because the Nirdaf is a victim of a rape situation, we want to stave this off before it actually happens, and even if it means killing the Rodef, we will do so. The Acharnara Marasa, now we're talking about a woman who is betrothed, as we say in English, which means that there was Erisin and not Nisuin, and she has the status of an Eishes Ish, and as a result of the fact that she is an Arusa, we will kill the Rodef, who is about to implement his plan of adultery, of having a bia with an Eishes Ish. And we're going to save her from this rape situation of an Eishes Ish because of the severity of this crime, and also because of something called pagam, which we want to discuss, meaning that this crime, this sexual crime against her, will debase her, and it would cause that her husband doesn't have the same kind of relationship of chiba. This is such a severe victimization of the victim, and therefore the Torah says, Matzilin Osan Benafshan. We can, for the sake of Hatzolah, we can kill the Rodef. So basically, the Mishnah has two categories. Number one, we kill the Rodef for the sake of Hatzolas Chaye HaNirdof, in the case where the Rodef is trying to kill someone. And number two, for the sake of Hatzolas HaNirdof, or maybe we should use a more precise term, at least in the case of Nara Murasov, HaNirdefes, because she's about to be violated in a very humiliating way, and that adds to the Chumras HaVeira, and the Torah says, as we'll derive later from Psukim, the Ein Moshiela, that we put the Rodef to death, if need be, in order to save the Nirdefes from this, and so too, in the terribly humiliating situation of Rodef Achar HaZochar. However, the Mishnah says there is a limit, and before we get to the limitation, let's just point out that there's an implicit limitation in the Reisha of Nara Murasa. The word Nara would l'chora apply to any Eshesish, lav dafka Nara, but maybe if she's a Bogeres, then there is no Chibas Besulin. Again, that's something that has to be taken under advisement. What happens with her maturity as she reaches the age of 12 and a half? But one thing is crystal clear. It says Ma'oras as opposed to Nesua. And let's assume that in the case of Nesuin, the husband and wife have already, through the Nesuin, consummated the marriage with a physical relationship. In such a case, the Pagam is not considered such a debasing act that's going to have such a terrible impact on the marriage relationship, because they already have a physical relationship. But in the case of a Me'urasa, where the Oris has not consummated the marriage, he hasn't clinched that physical relationship with the Nara, therefore it's not the level of Pagam of a Me'urasa. So we already have an implicit restriction in the Mishnah, in the ratio of the Mishnah itself. Now the Sefer is more explicit. Harodef, aval harodef achar behema, v'hamachalel es hashabas, v'ha'oved avodes kochavim, ein matzilin osan benafsha. They're very severe averos and capital crimes, but nevertheless we will not kill the rodef who is about to implement these criminal acts before the criminal act is actually done. Again, we have to do whatever we can to prevent him from doing what he's doing, a sodomy with an animal, or worshipping an idol, violating the Shabbos, but Ein Matzilin Oso B'Nafsho, we're not going to kill the Rodef who is intending to violate these kind of severe capital crimes in order to prevent that crime from actually happening. And again, because number one, no life of a nirdof is at stake, so it doesn't fit under the Hatzolas HaNirdof B'chaya Nirdof that applies to the case of a Rodef Acher Chaver LaHargo, nor does it fit into the other two cases of sexual crimes, of Acher HaZoch V'Acher Nara Murasa, because in those cases the act itself is debasing, it creates a pagam, it's humiliating, and that doesn't apply in the case of Shabbos, obviously, or Avodas Kochavim, and even the case of Behema, who's the Nirdof here? It's the Behema? We're not going to kill the Rodef in order to save the Nirdof from some sort of humiliation. And therefore, we're left with the fact that in these cases, we cannot kill the Rodef, even though we would logically want to prevent him from implementing a capital crime, because this capital crime does not have the additional element, the dimension of Pagam, of, in some sense, debasing and humiliating the victim. In the case of Shabbos and Avodas Kochav, there's no human victim at all. And the Mishnah teaches us that we cannot kill a person in order to prevent him from sodomizing a beast. And again, the reason for that is because we need Hatzolas HaNirdof, and here the Nirdof is the Behema. And also in the cases of Shabbos and Avodas Kochavim, we don't have a human Nirdof, and therefore we don't kill him in order to save the Shabbos or to save the Jewish people from a worship of Avodas Kochavim. The Gemara now is going to quote Brisos in order to achieve the following goal. How does the Mishnah know, from whence does it derive these conclusions? Let's take the first case of the Mishnah to save Shimon from being murdered by Reuven. We'll kill Reuven. Talmud Lomer, this is based on the Pasuk, Lo Samod Al Dam Reacha. And this is a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. And the pasuk implies that you have to do whatever you can in order to save your friend. Lo samen al dam reacha. And even if it means killing the attacker, that's what you have to do. But when you think about it, although a person is not allowed to stand idly by, he has to do whatever he can to save the nirduf, that doesn't go as far as to teach me that, or necessarily to teach me that you can kill the rodev. Where does it say in this pasuk that you can kill a rodev? And perhaps that's what the Gemara is asking over here. That indeed the lo tamad al dam reach, as Alosa says, coming to enjoin you from a low level of non-involvement, of omission, and it doesn't mean that you have to go as far in your active hatzola for dam reach to kill and be shofech dam the dam of the rodef. Again, especially if we see this in the whole parish of Rodef, not in terms of the Chiyuv HaRodef, he doesn't have Asra, he might be a Katan, but rather in terms of Hatzolos HaNirdaf. So how far do we go with Hatzolos HaNirdaf? If we want to take the life of someone else, is my Chazis. Who says that, you know, that we can forfeit the Rodef's life for the sake of the Nirdaf? And if you're going to quote me the pasuk lo samen al dam reacha, that means you have to do whatever you can in order to save someone's life. You know, hatzola, hatzola, hatzola. But that doesn't mean we can kill someone for the sake of hatzola. And perhaps, again, it's a little bit of a stretch, but maybe I could push this into the language of the Gemara. V'ha lahachi udiyasa. Haimi boile lichasanya. The Bryce is going to tell me that lo samen comes from a different halacha. Minayin l'roes chaver shutoveh benar. If you can jump into the river in order to save your friend who's drowning, oh chaya gorarto, oh listim boimalov, if a beast is carrying him away, and you can somehow intervene here and save the person, oh listim boimalov, that bandits are coming to attack him, shu chayv latzilo, he can't just turn the other way. You know, the famous scenario in the that they used to talk about in the New York City subway system, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, somebody comes onto the train is accosting someone, attacking someone. So you know, what the other people do is all of a sudden they're dedicated and engrossed in their newspapers. You know, nobody wants to see above the newspaper, you know. And mind your own business. It's not my business to save somebody. No, the Torah has a different ethic. Tamalomalo samen al dam reacha. But again, this brisa uses the pasuk lo samen al dam reacha to generate a chiyuv hatzola. It doesn't mean that I can kill someone in order to fulfill that chiyuv that mitzvah hatzola. Enochi nami. The Gemara says, yeah, you're right. We're going to have to drop the ball on this pasuk, this losa set of lo samad al dam reach. That cannot serve as the source for the din of harigas harodef. So the Gemara says, let's go back again and ask that question. Now that we've rejected the alfusa from lo samad, is ella nitan latzilo benafsho minolan? So what is the source in the Torah from which we derive that we can kill the rodef? Asya bekavachome minara murosa. Now, again, keep in mind that the Gemara later on is going to try to find the source for Nara Murasa. But let's give it, you know, Be'emunas Chacham, let's grant this premise that we can save the Nara Murasa, even if it means at the expense of forfeiting the life of the Rodef. And we'll derive that later from a Yalfus unto itself. But now we want to know whether that can give us a green light to derive the conclusion that we save someone if it means forfeiting the life of the Rodef. Ma Nara Murasa, the Gemara has a Kal Vachomer from Nara Murasa Shalo Ba El Lefogma. Her life is not in jeopardy. He's coming to blemish her, to humiliate her. But Omra Torah, nevertheless, in order to prevent that from happening, Nitan Latzilo Ben Nafsha, is Rodef Achachaver Lahargo, Alachas Kama Vakama. And in the case where somebody's life is at stake, and if you don't forfeit the life of the rodef, then the nirdef is going to die. Is if you're allowed to kill the rodef to prevent the pagam of the Namaros, how much more so if you should be allowed logically to kill the Rodef in order to save the life of the Nirdof. In the case of Namaros, her life is not in jeopardy. Now, Tosa says that this Kalvachom is very problematic because we're killing a person in order to prevent and, let's say, to protect the victim, that he shouldn't harm the victim. This Kalvachom doesn't seem to reflect the approach that we saw in Rashi at the top of the daf. At the opening line in the Mishnah, Rashi says, "Elu shematzilin also min avera." So we're talking about chumras avera, and Tosus points out that the chumras avera in the case of Nara Murasa exceeds beyond the chumras avera of Ritzicha. Now, what does that mean? How do I know which avera? You know, you talk about classifying averas. One is more severe and deserves more of a punishment than the other. How do you go about doing that? Well, the answer is we have a very good barometer for that. The Torah tells you what the punishment is for which crime. Now, in the case of Nara Murasa, the punishment, says Tosfos, is skila. In the case of Rotzeach, the punishment is saif. And the Gemara establishes earlier, now Masechta, that saif is less severe than skila. Skila is the most of all the four different forms and modes of executing a person. Skila is the most severe of all of them. It's chamura mikula, and that would seem to be indicative of the fact that in the case of Nara Murasa, we're talking about a violation that is more severe even than murder itself. Because in the case of murder, the punishment is only saif. In the case of Nara Murasa, Baal Nara Murasa, the punishment is going to be skila, which is the most severe of all of them. And this therefore leads us to interpret the Mishnah differently than Rashi. We're not talking about Chumras Avera, but rather we're talking about Hatzolas HaNirdof. And from the perspective of Hatzolas HaNirdof, no doubt, if murder is more harmful to the victim than rape, as bad as rape is, and pagam and so forth and so on, but still the near death, is still going to survive this, and she's still alive. So from the perspective of Hatzolah, we certainly have this Kavlachomer. But this again leads us back to our original Hakira. Do we view the Matzil as a representative of Bezdin? And we mentioned the Shitas Chachamim of Rabbi Yossi, that a Rodef needs Hasra, and that's because we're actually implementing quasi, from a halachic perspective, a Chi of Mises Bezdin. So the Gemara then asks the obvious question, Chi Onshim and Adin. If you're talking about Onshim here, you're not talking about pure Hatzolas HaNirdof, but you're talking about Onshim, and you're punishing the Rodef, then Kal Vachomer is not enough to punish the Rodef. So the Gemara at this point is sort of oblivious or is neutralizing the factor of Hatzolas HaNirdof. Hatzolas HaNirdof in and of itself would not be sufficient to define the halacha of killing the Rodef. We need to add another element, and that's the element that the Rodef has a shame and a chiyuv Rodef, he deserves to die because of his potential or planned criminal act, in this case, of murder. So therefore, if we're talking about introducing another element here, that we can only kill the Rodef because of his desire to implement murder, and therefore he would be condemned as a murderer for Mises Bezdin for his crime, then I don't know if you can apply the principles of Kal Vachomer, because we have a limitation in Kal Vachomer that's called Ein Onshim Min Adin. And in the past, we've discussed that Ein Onshim Min Adin has many different dimensions to it, and there may be different explanations to it. But let's just accept it as a rule of thumb. Ein Onshim Min Adin. So how do you know that we can kill a Rodef who's jeopardizing the life of the Nirdof? And at this particular point, the Gemara is taking the approach that we have Mimonashak, we have no source for the halacha of the Mishnah of Matzilin Osobinafsha, Rodef Achachaver Lahargo, if we're going to derive it from Lo Samod al Damriach doesn't tell me that we go that far as to forfeit the life of one person for the sake of saving another life. And if we're going to derive with the Kal v'chomer from Nara Murasa, then we have a problem. We're going to be facing that brick wall called Ein Onshin Min Adin. So the Gemara therefore comes up with a third approach as to how we derive the halacha of killing the potential murderer in order to save the victim. And I'm caught here with the following problem that bothers my mind, and maybe you can answer this problem. Why does Gemara leave it at that? Of ain onshin min adin. We're not talking about onshin yet. Rebbeinu Shalom, we're talking about atzolos hanirda. And once again, the Kal v'chomer is an eisen of Kal v'chomer. It's absolutely ironclad that we have to go even further. Meaning, Nara Murasa is the pin that punctures the balloon. We now see that for atzolos hanirda, if we can even take the life of the rodef, and if that be the case, applying it logically to the case of someone who's pursuing his friend to kill him, we should certainly put him to death in order to save the nirdaf. I mean, we're going to save the nirdaf and the nirdefis in the case of Nara Murasa, much more so in the case of Misa, of a threat to his life. So you're going to tell me Onshim and I did, but we're not dealing with Onshim over here. If we're dealing with Onshim, we'd certainly need Asra. We came to the conclusion that according to Rav Huna, and way before Rav Huna, we had the price of Machtarasa Zui Asra, so we don't need a Asra. Obviously, you're not dealing with Onshim. Ein Onshim B'li Asra. So you can apply Ein Onshim and Adin, let's apply Ein Onshim B'li Asra. So I don't know why the Gemara at this point doesn't backtrack and offer the possibility. The Gemara seems to be so thirsty to find the source for this halach of Harigas HaRodev that the Gemara just simply drops the ball on the Kal v'chomer based on Ein Onshin Min Adin. And that principle doesn't necessarily apply here. I mean, I could see that according to one school of thought it should apply. But the Gemara seems to be closing the door and saying we got to move on. And again, Luli de Mistafina, again, I don't know in Hilchas Shakel V'Tari if you could say such a thing, that the Gemara is not rejecting this Havamina that we can learn it from a Kal v'chomer. The Gemara is just saying that according to one view we can't. So the Gemara is Ki'ilu saying, and if I hold like this opinion against Rav Huna, that it's all Hatzola, that it's not just Hatzola Sanida, but also it's a Chiv Rodev, and that becomes a punishment in Onesh, then I have to ask myself the question, what's the source for that Ein Onshin Min Adin? Last and final conclusive source is a Hekesh, Debei Rebbe Tana. So this is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi's Braisa. It says Hekeshahu, that there's a Hekesh in the Torah. Now Rashi, Dibra Maskel Hekeshahu, has a whole presentation. He says, if Ein Onshin Min Adin, if we cannot utilize Kal v'chomer in order to generate a punishment, how are we allowed to use a hekesh? And Rashi introduced a whole new element here to the equation, and that is what he calls the Kabbalah element. What do I mean by the Kabbalah? There are two ways of deriving halacha. One is through a mesorah, Kabbalah. This was handed down. And the other is through a logical deduction. In the case of Kal v'chomer, we're dealing purely with a logical deduction. And with regard to a logical deduction, we always say Ein Onshin Min Adin. Maybe a logic is incorrect, as convincing as it sounds. But there's another kind of principle which describes Hekesh according to Rashi, and that is that you have to have a Mesorah. And Rashi claims Lo Nitna L'Midrash with regard to Hekesh, Lo Nitna L'Midrash Mi Atzmo. Kal v'chomer is adam don kal v'chomer liatzen. That's human logic, that element. But in the case of Hekesh, we need a Kabbalah mirabosov. We have to have an unbroken tradition that was passed on from one generation to the other. And in the case of such a tradition, of such a Kabbalah and such a Mesorah, we can punish based on that Mesorah. It's not like the case of Kal Vachomer, which is human logic, and therefore we have to apply the principle of Lo Kiblu Mirabosov. There's no Kabbalah element, but it's Me'atzmo, Zayn Onshin Me'atzmo, even if the Kal Vachomer is ironclad and absolutely convincing logically, we're not going to use the Kal Vachomer to derive Onshin. But Hekesh, that's already B'Mesorah. And all of the Mefarshim go to town over here because Rashi elsewhere in Shas says that a Hekesh is not like a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's not considered part of the oral law and the Mesorah. And therefore we don't know exactly how to reconcile Rashi and Kol Torah Kulo with this Rashi here. I would suggest that there are two categories of Hekesh. You know, when there are two parashas near each other, okay, that's not a Mesorah, that just tells me, you know, should we... And again, they don't have to be near each other, but there's something logically that would give me the Hekesh. That's already not Mesorah Mirabosov, that's already applying human logic. This case that we're dealing with here, that Rashi says is a Mesorah, is based on Taich. It's based on how to interpret a verse in the Torah. True, we need the Mesorah in order to give us a clear-cut interpretation of that pasuk, the way we want to interpret it. For that, we definitely need a Mesorah. But Rashi says this is an upgraded Mesorah because this Mesorah is coming to explain the Torah Shebichsav. It has the status of Torah Shebichsav. When it's Torah Shebal Peh, like Svara, then we apply Einot Shemin Adin. But here it's like Ilu Torah Shebichsav because my Rebbe handed down this Hekesh and he got it from his Rebbe back and back and back to interpret the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? Ki kasher yakum ish al reyehu uritzacho nefesh. And let's read the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'la'naral osasa does." This is in Parshas Ki Tetzeh in Dvarim Chav Beis. V'la'naral osasa davar, ein la'nara chet maves ki kasha yakum ish al reyehu uritzacho nefesh kein hadavar hazeh. So we're talking about a case of a rape situation, of a threatened rape to a nara murasa. Not a threatened rape, but an actual rape. So the Nara Murasa now is involved in an adulterous relationship, but she was completely victimized here. There was no element of her participation or her desire to participate, and therefore Ein La Nara Chet Maves. She's not to be prosecuted or condemned for this act. She's totally free of any accusation, of any condemnation. And in this context, the Torah says that her situation is to be likened to that of kasha yakum, the word kasha kamo, meaning as parallel to the case of yakum isha reyeru tzacho nefesh. Now, I thought this meant that she is victimized just like the victim of Ritzicha. And the Torah is trying to tell you that you don't put her to death, or for that matter, you don't have any habit of punishing her because she is totally victimized, like the case of the victim of a murder. But Rashi says differently. Rashi says that that the p'tur of Namaras is to be derived from the p'tur in Ritzicha, p'tur. I emphasize that word p'tur, Rashi says. Ki hechi dehasam onus potur. What does that mean, p'tur? If there's a rotzeach and he implemented his act, what are you talking about, p'tur? In the case of Namaras, the act of adultery was implemented, she's p'tura because she was victimized. Who's the victim in the case of Ritzicha that you're saying he's potter? You must be talking about the Rotzeach. Rashi could only be referring to the Rotzeach. The Rotzeach is potter. So we must be assuming that just like in the case of a rape, she is anus, so too in the case of a Rotzeach who killed Bionis. Now again, it's very hard for me to conjure up a scenario, an image of a rotzeach who killed Be'onis. Because l'chora, if he was forced to kill someone, we're going to see later on he has to give up his life rather than implement such a ritzich. I don't know if he's called an onus. I don't know if he's exempt from punishment. I mean, you have to go through the Rambam carefully in Perkei Milchus Yisodei HaTorah and come to some conclusion about that. But Pashtus is that a rotzeach be'onus just doesn't exist. Now, if on the other hand, the Rotzech was thrown off a high ledge, a roof, and he crushed somebody and killed somebody on the way down, or they threw him onto a baby, in those cases, he's not a Rotzech at all. So again, Rotzech Ba'ones is something that has to be understood. Perhaps the case would be where he stood at the edge of a roof and an unusual wind came by and pushed him over the ledge, and then he killed somebody on the way down. Maybe that's called a Rotzeh Ba'onis because Eisho Mishum Chitzov, it's like Avnov Sakinim Asoshin Ich Baruch Kagum. Anyway, that's a long discussion, but not for a daf shir right now. So the Gemara quotes this Braisa, and Rebbe in the Braisa says the following. V'chimala madnu merotzeach. You know, at first reading, you get the impression that the Torah is telling you that the Na'amaros situation is like that of a Ritzicha situation, as if Ritzicha is teaching something and clarifying something vis-a-vis Na'amaros. But that's not so, because we don't know that Ritzicha is telling us anything about Na'amaros. And therefore, if it's not teaching us anything about Na'amaros, then let's take it the other way around, says Rebbe, and it's shedding a light on Rotzeach. Nimtza Lomed. We are, in fact, using it to teach something. We thought it was, you know, we thought, I should say, it became the subject of a teaching. You know, we thought that Rotzeach was teaching us something about Na'amaros. No, it's the opposite. It's that Na'amaros is teaching us something about Rotzeach. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, Ein Hekish Shlomechza, and therefore, if there's a Hekish between Na'amaros and Rotzeach, we're going to have to go in both directions. Not just that Na'amaros is teaching us something about Rotzeach, but that Rotzeach is also teaching us something at the same time about Na'amaros. And the Braisa says, what is Nimtza Lomed? What limud are we getting from Na'amarasa to Rotzeach? Makish Rotzeach l'Na'amarasa, ma Na'amarasa nitan latzilo benafsho, af Rotzeach nitan latzilo benafsho. And the Gemara is now establishing that we're going to derive the conclusion from Na'amarasa, but again, not in a Kavachomer, but in a Hekesh, that we can kill the Rodef Acher Chaver Lahargo. If we kill the Rodef Acher Na'amarasa Leonsa, then we also, by virtue of this Hekesh, kill the Rodef Acher Chavero Lahargo Lerotzcho. So now the Gemara says, finally, we have to come to grips with the main question. V'na'amarasa gufa minolan. We now have to ask the question, okay, you know, the whole premise of this rice of Revi, and of all the sugyas that we've been deriving from Kal Vachomer, etc., is that Na'amarasa, we kill the Rodef. Where do we know that in the case of Na'amarasa, we kill the Rodef? And then we go back and shed a light on the case of Rodef HaKarev Lahargo. And that's from Kidasana to Bey Rabbi Yishmael. In order to appreciate the drasha here of Tana to Bey Rabbi Yishmael, we should go back to the Pasuk in Dvarim Perk Chav Beis. Before we saw Pasuk Chavav, now let's look in Pasuk Chav Zion. It says, Ki besada mitza'a, tza'aka anara, anara murasa, v'ein moshiala. The last three words are the critical three words. She had no rescuer. There was no one there to rescue her. She was out in the field. She screamed, but there was no one who could hear her and save her. And somehow, if that be the case, you know, you're wondering if no one could hear her and save her. So what, you know, what is the scenario, the metzius of killing the Rodef? Obviously, the Torah is not limiting its halacha to that specific scenario. That specific scenario is rather going to tell me something in principle and conceptual about the possibility of killing the Rodef. And what is that? V'ein Moshiala, ha'yesh Moshiala. I don't know why the Gemara doesn't use the word michlal diem yesh moshi. But anyway, her yesh moshi, the implication is that if there would be someone available to rescue her, then bechol dover sheyachal oshio. The Torah is obligating that person, that potential matzil, to do whatever he possibly could to rescue her. Again, it doesn't say that explicitly in the pasuk. It doesn't say that Hayesh Moshiach is Bechal Dover Shiach Aloshiach. The Bechal Dover here is added by Rabbi Shmuel, and I'm wondering if he had some sort of tradition to that effect. In other words, if this rescuer has to kill the Rode for the Nara, that he has permission to do so, and the Gemara is going to use that as a basis, or the Brice of Rebbe as a basis for telling us that if need be, we'll kill the Rodef HaChaver LaHargo in order to save the Nirdaf. And that's going to be derived from Nara Murasa. So once we have this Rabbi Shmuel for Nara Murasa, then we could derive Rotzeach through this pasuk that equates the two. Gufa. Let's go back to the Brice that we quoted earlier about the pasuk. The Losa says, Lo Saman al Damriya, Chaminayin, Leroes Chaverushu Tovea Binar. If you can save your friend by jumping in, you're a good swimmer, and saving him because he's drowning, Ochaya Gorato, you have the ability to kill this beast before he kills his victim, because this wild beast has grabbed the victim. He's dragging him away. You know, unfortunately, we've heard tragedies about alligators. You know, in places like Orlando, Florida. You know, where they have hotels that have pools. You know, in the back, and terrible tragedies with alligators. So if you can somehow, you know, kill the alligator before he drowns the baby. Oh, listen, Boimolov, let's say there are bandits that are threatening his life, and you can somehow kill the bandits. Again, you got to be very careful here, because if you start off with bandits that are armed robbers, you know, you can end up getting your head knocked off. And that has happened in terms of saving, where a lifesaver goes in to save someone, and he himself, the lifesaver, drowns. And then another person goes in to save them and drowns. It's terrible. But in any event, when it's clear that you can save him, and that's the mitzvah atzol, is lo samon tamalom lo samon al dam reyacha, this teaches you that you cannot stand idly by doing nothing and minding your own business when you could save someone from death, and you have to do your maximum to save him. So the Gemara asks, but wait a minute, we have a different brisa that derives the mitzvah and the chiyuv hatzol from a different pasuk of Mihacha Nafka. Are you deriving it from Lo Saman al Dam Reyacha? Mehasam Nafka. We derive it from a different pasuk, also in Sefer Dvarim, also in the same Perek of Beis, but at the very beginning of that Perek is the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And in the pasuk of Hashavas Aveda, the Torah says Vashevoso Lo, which literally means you should return. You turn him to him. Vashevoso, return him lo to him. So what does that mean? And that's what the Brisa says. Aveda's gufo minolan. How do you know that you have to save a person's life? His body is lost, so to speak, meaning there's a danger to, let's say, his drowning. Is Tamalom Vashevo Solo, return his body to him? So the Gemara says, Imihasam, if you'll tell me that the only source you have for Hatzola is the Pasuk Vashevo Solo, as a mitzvah sase, is Hava Mina Hani Mili Bin Nafshe, that means that if you can save him by jumping into the water, you have SLS, you know, you're an advanced swimmer, and there's a mitzvah shebegufo that obligates you to jump into the river and save him, aval mitrach u'migri aguri, an event that you don't have the capability of saving him personally, begufcha, by jumping into the water, how do we know that you have to go ahead and find a lifesaver, pay him if need be, out of pocket? Aim Allah, I might think that chovas moment is not imposed upon you. And of course, what comes to mind is the mitzvah of kibud av ha'em. We paskin kibud av ha'em mishal av. So do I have to serve my father a steak dinner when he requests such? If he doesn't have the wherewithal, he doesn't have the interest in paying me back. And here too, maybe just like in kibud av, it's a chovas aguf. So too here in atzolos nefesh, it's a chovas aguf. It's not a chovas moment, and therefore, if the possibility is exclude, if the possibility of physically jumping in and saving him is excluded, it's not on the agenda. I can't save him. I don't have the ability to do so. That patters me up, just like Kibarav Mishalav, it's a Chovas Guf, and I don't have anything more beyond the Chovas Guf. Kamashwan, therefore I need the Pasuk of Losana Briache, of Losaman al Damriacha, which generates a Losasa. Now here's a fundamental difference between an essay and a Losasa. With regard to an essay, you can argue that the essay is only a Chovas Haguf, it's not a Chovas Mamon, but with regard to a Losasa, the Torah says that you have to give up all your every last dime, all the money in the world to avoid violating a losasa. Money is meaningless in the face of a losasa. So you have to rescue this person, if not begufcha by yourself, but at least pay someone money for a professional who knows how to rescue her, a professional lifesaver. Now, there's a whole discussion in Yoredei about whether or not after you hire someone to save somebody, you can demand reimbursement and compensation for the monies that you spent. And even if I assume that, yes, you have the right to demand compensation, but let's say you know that the person you're saving, who's the potential victim that's drowning, has no wherewithal. There's no way under the sun that he can pay you back. You're still obligated to shell out that money. It's not like kibudav mishalav. If my father doesn't have the money, I don't have to dig into my own pocket for kibudav. But in the case of hatzolos nefashos, again, had I only had the essay of Ashivo Solo, it would have been limited. But now that I additionally have the Losasa, then the Losasa says that it's not just the Chovas Haguf, it's a Chovas Mamon. Again, I may have rights to get compensated, but in the meantime, forget about those rights. You have to spend all the money in the world to hire a lifesaver to save this person's life. And that's the Torah's ethic. Again, I don't want to get into a philosophical discussion about the Ashkof of the Torah, but certainly you see very clearly that the Torah is very demanding in its ethical obligation to save someone's life. Don't start telling me how much it's going to cost you. You got to go ahead and do whatever you can. And basically, since you can hire someone to do it, it's as if you can do it yourself. That is your cube of Hatzalah, and you have fulfilled the Losaseh of Losamen al Damriach. Now, again, that was a little bit of a digression as far as our mission is concerned. If we get back to our Mishnah on the top of the Amud, and we're talking about Rodev, then again, we wanted to find the parameters of when we can apply the principle of Rodev and kill the Rodev to save the Nirdov. That's going to be the subject of this next Brisa here, Tana Rabbanan. And the Brisa is going to add Chayvei Krisus. That requires discussion unto itself, meaning to save a victim, let's say it's a woman, from being victimized in a chiyuv karis of a sexual nature, in other words, a violation of a sexual crime against a woman, and that crime is of the level of a chiyuv karis, and how much more so chiyuv misa, then the halacha of matzilinus hanirdefes al yidei arigas arodev kicks in, it's activated, even though, again, there may not be any element of pagam, maybe she's an unmarried woman, but if a brother is running after his sister, and for the express purpose of raping her, then we would kill him if we had to in order to save her, even though the pagam element here is a lower down element. Again, in Chayvei Lav, the Gemara is going to establish based on a brisa that there is no din of Hargan as a Rodev. But in Chayvei Krisus, in the sexual area of those violations, we will kill the Rodev if need be. And the question is why? If it doesn't come under the pure logic of Hatzolah, to save one life, even at the expense of forfeiting another life, it doesn't seem to fit into the category of Nara Murasa, because that was based on Pagam and so forth and so on. We can even say that in the case of the Nesua, we're not going to kill the Rodev to save the Nirdefes who's a Nesua. Then Lechora, how much more so in the case of an Ach V'Achos, which is only a Chiyuv Kares, but there doesn't seem to be anything beyond the Avera. And as far as other Averis is concerned, we saw in the Mishnah explicitly, Arodev Achar Behema, Machalos HaShabbos, Hovei Kochav, in all these cases, we're not going to apply the principle of Harigas HaRodev. So why do we apply that in the case of Chayvei Kresos? And that's something that B'li Neder I'd like to think about, and maybe I'll have an answer for, you know, in time for tomorrow's Shia. But in the meantime, I want to thank you for participating, and we're going to stop here towards the bottom of Daf Ayin Gimel Amen Aleph. These are very profound sugi, so we're moving a little bit slower than usual. And wish everyone again a Chag Sameach, Moedim L'Simcha.